Okay, we're finished with our music portion of Talk Saratoga, and we will now go to our talk show with a super special guest, Kimberly Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, and we'll be right back on the other side.
The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. And I do have to say that it is good to be back. We've been gone exactly July, August, 2 months. Our last show was July the 10th. Today's September the 10th. And in between, there was a racing season at the Saratoga Race Course, if somebody wanted to know why we weren't on. And it was a great meet. Weather was decent. I don't mind the heat and humidity. And in the beginning, that's all we had. But, hey, you know, it's only here for a short time. But it was fun. Saw a lot of people. Had a lot of people. New. And I love meeting people in a great spot. We did have one thing happen to the family over the summer that kind of killed the summer. But life goes on. So I want to say good morning to Kimberly Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Rick.
How are you?
Glad to be here. This is a sign of fall that we get to reconnect and take a big breath and say grateful that it happened and glad to move on to the next season.
Exactly. You know, another thing we were talking about, the studio and that, and some of the changes in here, it's so nice and clean and bright. The chair, I can't get up, so I'm looking like a midget over here.
I did not notice that.
Nah. Well, you look about 6 foot taller than me looking over at you. I also want to say to those who may think that I'm preoccupied while I'm talking, there's a killer fly in here that I've been trying to kill for the last hour, and with no luck, as flies do not die easily. So if I break off for a minute, it's because my hat's off and I'm trying to kill this crazy thing. But anyway, Kim, let's talk about your summer at the track from your perspective and what the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation did over the summer, and then we'll talk about things coming up
in the future. It is a pleasure to take a moment on this Saturday morning with a cup of coffee and a good friend and to sort of reflect on all that happened in those 2 months. It was what I call the supersized Saratoga summer. I think I saw it coming. All of us on the team at the TRF and our wonderful volunteers, we knew that we had stacked the deck pretty heavily with what I called three summers in one. Just looking ahead after all the kind of bumpy couple years we've all been through, that this would be the year we would pull out all the stops and do all the things and meet as many people and spread the word as broadly and widely as we could. And now that we're here in September and we look back, I think that's what we did. We really had an amazing summer that was above all an example of people demonstrating how much they care about the work that we have the honor of doing, the work of taking care of these horses and putting these horses in situations where they can help people. The fact that others beyond the TRF staff and beyond our volunteers said, I want to help. Let me do something. Let me give my gift. That was an overwhelming sort of the headline and the postscript of our summer, where people reaching into their own hearts and saying, what can I do to help? And I, on this Saturday in September, I'm just overwhelmed with the gratitude for every person who did that this summer. And I'll be happy to tell you names and tell you all about it, but if I had one headline, it's, wow, what a summer of people showing that they cared. So thank you, Rick.
You know, that's, I don't, you know, and it's not just the track, but I think the way the world's going, when you get together like this, the track, you meet so many people from around the world that it is great to see what they do. Mm-hmm. So why don't you let us know about some of the things that, you experienced over the summer? I met two great people, young people, so why don't you
They were a highlight, yeah, and I know you always encourage me to talk about the TRF Second Chances program, and it is really the flagship program for our organization, and just taking your nudge, I'll go ahead and make sure anyone listening knows sort of who we are and what we do. And then I will answer the question. To the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, for anyone who might be new to us, we are the oldest and largest charity in the United States dedicated to the welfare of retired racehorses. And we take care of those horses who can no longer race on the racetrack, and we prevent them from the worst possible things happening, and meaning that we give them sanctuary. Our focus is on those horses that cannot pursue a second athletic career or who've aged out of that second career. And we make sure that they will live happily and healthily ever after when they need us. And so we're kind of the safety net for the whole aftercare community. But within that, we have 450 horses in our herd. So we have a big herd, the largest in the country, and they are located all over the country. So it is important to know we are national. We're based right here in Saratoga, but our horses live all over the nation. And this flagship program is called the TRF Second Chances Program, and it is where we found the perfect place to place our horses to live out their days in a unique setting, which is the correctional facility setting, a prison. And in those prisons, the horses are teachers, and they live out their days, and they are cared for, but they are also giving back, and they're giving the individuals who care for them skills. They're teaching them life lessons. They're teaching them things like patience and empathy and responsibility, but they're also teaching them how to drive a tractor and how to feed a horse and how to trim a hoof and things they can really use when they get out. So those are the highlights of who we are and what we do. And Rick, your question was, highlights of the summer included two of our graduates from our TRF Second Chances program. One is a superstar young man named Tyler Frame from Maryland, who came and spent a wonderful, wild, maybe 72 hours here in Saratoga, and we ran him ragged, and he talked to everyone. And then also our great friend Lauren Vannucci, who's from Ocala, Florida, and she also is a graduate of our program there. Rick, you had the chance to meet Tyler, is that right?
I met both of the young people, yeah. Matter of fact, I had asked the young lady from Florida if she would trim my hooves. I don't know. She looked at me like I was an idiot, so I don't
she
know.
She could do it, though.
I know.
Maybe not your hooves, but some hooves.
Yeah. No, I was very, very fortunate to meet both of them. And I know, I don't know if Mac interviewed the young lady, but I know he did the young fellow. And I was most impressed because he talked to me for maybe 3 or 4 minutes. And it was just wonderful stories to hear from these two. And I know we're going to try and get her on the show.
Yes.
If she comes back up during the year, but it's a great program.
Yeah, it was such an honor to have them with me, and of course, I'm glad to know that I did make it up to your post with both of them, because you are the most important person for me to introduce anyone to, Rick, because you're such an ambassador for all the good things that happen in the world. But Lauren and Tyler are exactly, they're inspirations to me. I mean, every day that I bound out of bed trying to think, who else can we tell about this program? It's their stories and it's what they've done that give me, you know, the extra boost when I need it, because what they've overcome as individuals is extraordinary. But they were bright lights. They were absolutely headliners for my summer because I trotted them around and had them meet with everyone. And yes, our dear friend Mike McAdam did a really great story in the Daily Gazette about Tyler. And so if you have the interest, that is on our website, on our news page, but it's also easy to Google the Daily Gazette and look up Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. You'll see Tyler and you'll hear his story. So it really was, that having them here was terrific. The other thing, just coming to starting to drop some names of people who did wonderful things for us, and I won't do them in order, but I will say that we have a really good friend of the herd in the jockey, Kendrick Carmouche. Yeah. Kendrick is a rock star. You know him well. His smile lights up, you know, all of Manhattan if it needed to. We just plug Kendrick in and it would light up the city. But he loves the horses. He loves racing. He certainly loves life. That man knows how to live.
Oh, yeah.
And he loves his family and he loves to cook. So that's the fun thing, is that Kendrick has found his gift to give us, besides just his winning smile and his big heart. He has also given us hours in the kitchen. He did this at the Principessa Elena Society. This is the second year that we've had our Kendrick Carmouche Gumbo Fest. And, oh my gosh, I mean, literally, it's he and his beautiful wife and his kids, who are gorgeous and darling, they're all in there, sleeves rolled up, stirring the gumbo, serving the portions, cooking the rice, and we had a crashingly fun time early in the summer. It feels like months ago. I think it was like July 24th, but that man is a gem, and what he gave, not just in food, which was delicious, but in love and in celebration. You know, it really was one of those classic Saratoga things where everyone got together because we all love the horses. We raised some money for the horses, which is always our goal, mm-hmm. but we also just had a ton of fun and we've been connected with our community. And Kendrick is the gift that keeps on giving, yeah. and feeding us.
You know, there's a trainer, I can't even remember his name now, but a few years ago he had some good horses. And he was from Louisiana, and he talked with that Creole accent, and he used to hold court in the barn area. And the reporters all used to flock over to him because he always had something wild to say, and he was a good quote. But once during the meet, he would make gumbo, mm-hmm. and it was real spicy.
Yes.
And they would go over, they'd have a bowl before they came over to the press box or run over for lunch, and they'd come back with their eyes bulging because it was so hot. And he loved it, of course, the guy. I can't think of his name, though.
I know his name was Eric Gio. It is still Eric Gio. And I had the opportunity to try that gumbo. In fact, I had a couple containers of it in my freezer one winter. And it really woke you up in the middle of the winter when you heat that gumbo back up.
And it couldn't keep the freezer warm, cold.
Exactly. It kept thawing out my freezer.
But you meet the characters up there. That's what I love. Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
If I had any other spot, I probably wouldn't work at the track. I'm in a perfect spot. I get to meet. You go by all the time, either to go upstairs or walk by, and the trainers and the owners and the people that you work with. It's a magical place. It really is.
Yeah.
And I know for Saratoga, the city, it's a great thing. For the residents of the city, it may not be so great because this year, you know, I think things started to get back to normal, and the people were out, more people, and they set a record for attendance, you know, over 1.1 million people. But, you know, it was very crowded. But it's still, even though people want to get back to normal, the work situation is still hard,
mm-hmm.
and the stores can't keep up with it, or they're not open as much. But people were out this year.
Yeah, I think we were back.
Yeah.
With not just a vengeance, but sort of with a vigor.
Right. And I was surprised because I thought with the price of gas and that, people would kind of restrict travel, but they didn't, which is great. So let's talk about this one thing here really hits me. It's the Adelphi Casa Amigos?
Yes.
Muchachas?
No. Si, senor.
What the heck is that? You got to tell me.
Well, I will tell you. It is another one of these great examples of folks saying, hey, how about this great idea? And I love it when my job is to say, yes, thank you, and how can we help? And so this little gem, which is not a little thing at all, is an event we called, now this is its second year we've hosted it, called For Jocks and Horses. And it's actually a collaborative fundraiser. We are raising money happily for our horses of the TRF, but also for the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. So we sort of like the old and broken horses and the retired jockeys who need our help. So these are two causes that have a lot in common. And this event was absolutely positively the brainchild of one of our board members, who is a really amazing woman. Her name is Anita Motion. She is trainer Graham Motion's wife. And she is a powerhouse for the world of thoroughbred aftercare, is involved in a number of organizations. And whenever she has an idea, everyone jumps because she can make, she can move mountains with her ideas. This is her idea. And she said, listen, I have a friend that I know well who's a big friend of racing. He's a very active owner and about the most generous man most people have ever met. His name is Lee Einsiedler, and he owns the Casamigos Tequila Company. And Anita said, what if we asked Lee if he would donate some bottles of tequila? And what we'll do is we'll have all the jockeys in the New York racing colony sign these bottles, all 100 bottles, all the jockeys, all 100 bottles.
Wow.
And we will then have an event, and why don't we ask our friends at the Adelphi Hotel, who jumped in with both feet and said, absolutely, we'd love to host this event. And they pull out all the stops. You know, that is a top flight, beautiful venue. They host us. They provide the staff, the food, the bartenders, the beauty.
Whoa.
And what we did is we sold tickets like you do for any event. You could either come and just buy the ticket, which would get you a entrance and a fancy Casamigos tequila cocktail that was done by their famous mixologist. And or you could come and you could buy a bigger price ticket, which for $150, you would get the, actually $175, but you could get the cocktail and one of these bottles. And so we had sold, we thought we were going to have about 250 people. You never really know. It's that first weekend in August, which is such a busy weekend. It's right before the sales. Everyone's in town. And we ended up having 350 people turn up for this event. It was hot, as you might remember that weekend, Rick. So we stayed in and enjoyed the beautiful new ballroom at the Adelphi with the air conditioning. And we had a little silent auction of some really special items. And we raised $25,000 that one night, which we split between the two charities and had a whole lot of fun along the way. So that event, again, it all started with someone saying, hey, I have an idea. And then two great partners, which in this case is Adelphi Hotel, the whole team there, and then the Casamigos Tequila, who just said, yes, what can we do? It was awesome. It was amazing.
One question. Did the tequila bottles have the little women about them?
You know, this tequila is
sort of a... I don't know.
I know. That's a story. And I, being from San Diego, I guess I'm supposed to know
you
about
should.
Things like tequila. But I did not see any worms in these tequila bottles.
Okay, no worms. All right.
But they looked really pretty with all the signatures on them.
Yeah, really. You know, you can tell the impact of an organization by the people that not only volunteer and donate, but the people who go the extra mile to help raise money. And I know you've been very fortunate that there's so many people that that love the organization that will help contribute or come up with ideas for fundraisers. And that means so much to an organization, and I think it bodes well on your reputation.
Well, we are so grateful. You know, I do believe now that you know, my life's work is to tell this story. When someone else does it, it's 10 times more impactful than when I do. I mean, the truth is, we all know I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. But when we had so you're nice to say that I do my best. But I do think what you've said is so true, is that when other people who don't have to, it's just an extra. They're inspired to do it, and they take the time, which time is, we all know, it's the one thing we all have a limited amount of. It is truly the most precious gift. And so it is things like Kendrick cooking in the kitchen and his family, and then our friend Richie Megliori, who you know is on my list, because he gave the greatest gift of time this summer. I mean, if you were to rank, a former school teacher that I am, if I were to grade people on how much time they gave our horses, Richie wins with an A+, top of the class. Not that I'm grading anybody, but because what he did this summer is he and you've seen him do this, you probably heard some of his highlights. He can give arguably the best backstretch tour of the Saratoga racetrack of anyone walking this earth today. I'm sure he just is so passionate about it. He's such a student of the history of the track. Plus, he has his own stories, and his stories, although they make me wince every time he pulls out a picture of the bolts in his neck and the plates in his legs, and oh my gosh, but he's amazing. So what he did this summer, he started doing this for us a couple years ago, but he really asked me this winter, Kim, if there's ways I can do more, please let me do more. I mean, what a great guy. And I said, well, be careful. You know me, Richie.
Yeah, really.
If you'd give me a little more rein, I'm going to run with it. And
12 hours a day, huh?
And run we did. I actually haven't counted up how many of the tours he did, but we did at least one a week all summer long. And folks were able to donate to the TRF, which we are very grateful for. And they donated generously, and then Richie and I would meet them at the clubhouse entrance by the jockey's fountain. My favorite job of the summer was wrangling golf carts, because that is a key part of this tour. In order to cover all that land, you have to be in a golf cart. So our friends at John Kimmel's barn and America's Pastime Stables and the Racetrack Chaplaincy, they all got a call from me over the summer saying, can I borrow your golf cart for the Richie tour? And off we went, and over again, he would tell these stories, and he's that kind of guy, just like you, Rick, who brings people together, and he makes them feel a part of it, and he gives them something to go home and talk about.
Right.
And he did more for our organization, but he did more for racing this summer with those tours than I can possibly say.
Well, I think Richie is probably in the top 10 of best jockeys. And, you know, he was severely hurt many times. Not even supposed to get on a horse. He does, but not supposed to. He's got so much hardware in him. But he is he does TV and up for the meet. And he's arguably one of the nicest guys you ever want to meet. I mean, he's the size of a jockey. And always has a smile on his face whenever he goes up to the press box. Hi, Rick. Shakes hands, smiles at the two white caps there. Anybody that's in the vicinity smiles and says hello. He's got to be one of the nicest guys. And his son, Joey, is the same way. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's 6 foot tall.
Yes, he didn't get the jockey gene.
He didn't get the jockey gene. But, I mean, it's when you meet people like this, it's just so nice to be around, you know. And when they come by you nine or ten times a day, and you look forward to them. Mm-hmm. You really do. But I want to say on this note here, and we'll get back to some of the other things, you're listening to WSPN 91.1 FM, and we're here at Skidmore. It's Skidmore Radio. And if you want to give a call in the studio, it's 518-580-5783, 580-5783, and give a call if you want. And if you don't listen to the show, if you want to just listen, that's fine too. But if you want to call and put in a word, that's fine. Unbridled Affair, mm-hmm. The Captain's Gala, and you celebrated that right at the farm.
This one was actually out at Saratoga National.
This was
another example. I mean, and I don't mean to sound like it's a broken record, but where someone reached out to us and said, hello, we would like to celebrate the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Could we honor you and your work as an organization at our gala? So this is Captain Community Services. I have to think that folks here in the community know Captain. They are very much worth looking up because what they do is serve all the populations in our community who need additional support. It's kids coming out of foster care. It's elderly folks who need additional support in their home. There are after-school programs. They work a lot with the homeless community in our greater Saratoga region. So they are just the kind of organization that is the safety net for the people who live in our community. And they are great, great folks. And so they have a gala every summer because that's what one does when you're a charity in Saratoga. And theirs is called the Unbridled Affair because they have embraced the horsey theme. They are not horsey as an organization, but they take the time to pick out an organization every year, an individual every year, and a horse every year, and they celebrate them at their gala. And we were just unbelievably grateful that they reached out to us and gave us a chance to tell our story to their audience. And there's a lot of synergy between Captain and TRF, particularly that Second Chances program that I spoke about, because we both very much believe in giving a second chance to folks who need it. So That event was really fun. It was also my favorite kind of event, frankly, Rick, because it was somebody else's party. I was able to attend.
You could just be there and have fun.
But we brought our whole herd. We had like two full tables. We had volunteers who bought tickets, and my dad and his girlfriend Linda came, and we just had a wonderful time, and the captain folks made us feel very welcome, and they raised a lot of money for their important work, but they also helped us tell our story. So we consider them heroes of the herd as well.
You know, we talked about Richie and all the time he gives, and you know, there are certain people that just, I say, go overboard, but in a good way. But I mean, you are all over that track, and you know, we kind of chuckle because there's been a Kim sighting down in the lower clubhouse. Wait a minute, there's a Kim sighting by the winner's circle. And you are all over the place as an ambassador. You always have that smile on your face, and it's infectious. And so for you to attend something and have fun during the racing meet is kind of unusual, probably, because, you know, you have fun doing it, you know, you are over, you know, they do have a Kim watch every day.
Well,
so.
I don't know. But my husband always says, what do you do all day? And I say, honey, I simply run around in circles, just like the horses do.
I know I couldn't keep up with you. I know that. You know, I'm getting up there. But anyway, you do great. You had an event that's coming up again in September, Art in the Park. With
yes.
Saratoga
this,
Arts?
This was, we were so, once again, so grateful. We had an invitation by another great local community, and I would like to put her on your radar, my friend Rick, as Louise Kerr, K-E-R-R, is the executive director of Saratoga Arts, and she's one of our crew, Rick. She's doing so much good work in the community, and just like you and Lynn have now hit it off from Pitney Meadows Community Farm.
And she's going to be, I got to get a hold of her because they've got a lot.
I sent her our picture already. I sent her our selfie, by the way, so she's listening. I know she is. So
okay.
Lynn is terrific, but Louise is another one, and Saratoga Arts is that charming building right at the end of Broadway at the corner with Congress Park. Everyone's walked by it. It used to be the library.
Right.
But Louise is a relatively new executive director. She's been there maybe not, I think she just had her second anniversary. And she is full of great ideas. And one of them we were grateful was reaching out to us and having us partner in hosting the Art in the Park in July, because Art in the Park is a very beloved event in Saratoga, and it is in September, and
right.
It's happening next Saturday, the 17th.
The 17th,
so
yeah.
Mark your calendar and head to Congress Park. But the idea that we did is we did a second Art in the Park, and it was one run during the racing meet so that we could really highlight some of the equine artists in our community and put their work in front of all the race fans that had come to town. So we did that together. It was a collaboration, and all the proceeds from that event were generously shared between Saratoga Arts and the TRF, so it was a really nice opportunity. The fees for that just come from the vendors who rent booths, but Saratoga Arts generally offered us half of that. We brought our TRF volunteer herd, and that was our contribution, including Tyler, which was really the secret weapon, because having Tyler
there,
is sort of like having an army of 10 the body of one.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'm unfortunately, well, for better or for worse, if we do that event again with Saratoga Arts, I have to book Tyler in advance because he was the utility player. But anyway, we had so much fun, and that event was great early. It was a hot day. Oh, my gosh. I think it might have been the hottest day of the whole summer. But it was great, and then that'll happen again for folks to mark their calendar. We won't be as involved this year just because our crew is a little weary at the end of the summer, so we will be
right there
supporting and attending, but we're not co-hosting.
Sure. One of the things I like about Tyler is that he doesn't mince words.
No.
And, I mean, he starts off by saying, you know, I was a felon. And, I mean, he's a young man. And then he goes to tell the story about how this program in the prisons that you explained in the beginning, how it changed his life. And it gave him a purpose. And, to listen to the fella, I mean, he's got to be, what, early 20s, maybe, mid-20s?
I know. He's youthful. I think he's in his, I don't think he's at 30 yet.
No.
Tyler, we're giving you credit for that.
But I mean, to hear a story, it's unbelievable. And, I mean, it would make a great documentary.
Yeah.
And to be part of that, and, you with setting all these up has to make you feel so good.
Yeah.
Even the young lady that I met, we didn't get a chance to talk that much, but their stories are unbelievable.
They really are. They give you a lot of, I mean, they give me hope, and I think they give you hope. They give us all a sense that change is possible.
Yeah.
You know, give someone, whether it be give the horse a second chance, give the human a second chance, and look what can be done. They really profoundly true that we can be better than what we've done in the past. We
exactly.
can take a new step. And they both just exude that with every bit of themselves. And I would say that, you know, you and I, Rick, know that a lot of your colleagues in the security detail at NYRA are from corrections. I meet folks all
exactly.
the time. Sam,
yeah.
Who is a good friend. I didn't see him as much this summer, but I met a new NYRA guard friend who I know you know, Mike, who's in the paddock.
Oh, Mike, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What a great guy.
Isn't he?
We met at the parting glass on the final Monday. And I do want to say that for all those folks who know the correctional system, you know, that are listening, because I know there's a lot of folks, it's a big employer, it's a big yeah. system. It doesn't generally get a lot of positive accolades. It's a tough job. It's a tough thing. But I was with our superintendent at Wallkill this summer. We did a video filming there with Maggie Wolfendale. It was a great day. But Superintendent Melicio said to me this thing. He said, "I know this is a phrase that is hard for those who are outside of corrections to really understand, but," he said, "what gets me up every morning is that I know that good things happen in prison."
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, one could laugh and say, "Oh, you know, that's ironic." But it's maybe it's corny, maybe it's Pollyanna, but when you look at someone like Tyler,
That's true.
That it's true.
Yeah.
It is true. And Tyler will say that more compellingly than I ever can, that the best thing that ever happened to him in prison.
Yep.
And thank goodness for our friends in corrections who are there doing what the word indicates, correcting, giving
exactly.
rehabilitation.
Well, that's what it's for.
What it's for. And it is happening. And we have proof of that. So
yeah.
thank you to our friends in corrections, to Mike and to Sam
Mike
and all
Lambruno,
those listening.
And he's a friend.
Yeah.
And he's a great guy. We have a lot of fun, even though he's way down in the paddock. He had never been up on the roof, and I took him up one day. And, of course, you know, I mean, security, they frown on people going up unless
yeah.
they're with a security guard.
Sure, yes.
He'd worked there 12 years, and he'd never seen it from there. And when I took him up, and he couldn't believe it.
Yeah. It's
so every day he walked through, was supposed to go up. He
oh,
never
good.
Came through the building before because you go right
yeah.
from the security office outside to the, he goes over outside to the paddock. But there are a lot of nice people
yeah.
that have worked in prisons as correction officers.
Yeah.
And they have stories to tell also.
They do. They're hard stories, but there's some really, really positive stories.
Yeah.
And we were very lucky this year, besides having Tyler and Lauren with us, but and I know we'll, you know, if you'll let me, we'll touch on it. Our big event of the summer, even though all these things were big, was our one big fundraiser that we host for ourselves, which is our barbecue at the barn. This year, Commissioner Anthony Annucci, the head of New York Corrections, came to our party. He came with two of his deputy commissioners. We really had like the leadership team of New York Corrections, and we were very, very honored that they attended. They not only attended, they attended in what was essentially a hurricane here in Saratoga. But Commissioner Annucci, you know, is an example of a leader who's setting the tone from the top and saying that corrections is about giving these men and women who are in these facilities better opportunities when they leave. And he is perhaps the biggest advocate in the state of New York for our program. He's also a horseman, so he knows how well horses teach us lessons, humility, hard work, all those things. But having him at the barbecue was really such an honor because corrections in New York has been a partner of ours for now. We will be celebrating 40 years starting next year.
Whoa.
40 years will be the TRF's anniversary. And then in 2024, we will be at 40 years at Wallkill with corrections. So we really can't say enough about our partnership with the New York Department of Corrections and Community Supervision. They're amazing.
And it's not only in New York State.
Yeah.
You've got these programs and how many
states? We are in 9 states. We have 9 programs in 8 states, actually, okay. To be clear. We have 9 programs in 8 states because we actually have 2 in Florida. One is with the Women's Prison Lowell Correctional Institute. The other is with the Department of Juvenile Justice. So we have 2 in Florida, but they're actually with 2 different systems. And we are in California. We are in Kentucky, Illinois, Maryland, New York, South Carolina, and Florida. Wow. It's amazing. And and every program is a little bit different, but every program is exactly the same in that the horses make the people better. That's just what they do.
Well, I was going to say, the programs may be different, but the outcome is the same. And it gives a hope and a career opportunity for the people that are going through the system a purpose.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how impressive talking to those two young people were. I was kidding the girls. I always kid, you know.
Yes, that's females. If you didn't, we would be worried.
But her tan.
Yes. She's a Florida girl, for sure.
When she said she was from Florida, I said, I could tell. I mean, you got a tan that, you know, I mean, people are just starting to work on their tans up here if you do that. And she had a nice copper tone tan. But, no, they really do impress you right away. I mean, it's just great. You can't talk enough about them.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited because actually, just to connect some of our dots on this conversation, I've been able to start taking VIP visitors to Wallkill, which after 2 years of our pandemic and all the challenges, we couldn't take anyone there here in New York for several years. But starting this summer, I was able to begin taking some visitors. So I'm taking a group on Thursday, and Lynn Trisna from Pitney Meadows Community Farm is coming with me.
Is she?
Among my very, I have a lot of really special guests, but she and I are going to get to spend the whole day in the car together, and she gets to come see our horses and their magic, and I'm so excited. So when you have her on next, you can get her to talk about it to you.
Exactly, because Lynn, if you're listening, you will be getting an email soon. I had planned on that anyway, because I know you have a lot of things coming up for the fall.
The fall is a big time in the farming world. That harvest is coming in.
That's right. And, you know, they have some exciting things coming up. So, and Lynn, you know, is our quarterly guest, as you are. And they always have projects during the different seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't
done it yet, Rick, I'm going to tell you and all your listeners, because, you know, that the walking path or jogging path, I'm more of a walker these days, that walking path is my favorite mind-clearing, calming thing to do. And it really was the day after racing season. I think it was Tuesday. Maybe it was Wednesday. I went for my first walk with Bobby and I. It was Tuesday night. We went for a walk around the loop, watching the sunset over at the Pitney Meadows Community Farm and finding this huge field of sunflowers. They have a humongous field. So it's totally worth going over there to take a walk.
Well, we don't live that far away from there, but my wife and our dog will take a walk there all the time.
Great.
But, and I got to tell you, and here again, Lynn, if you're listening, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that she's responsible for the paths being put in. And, I mean, she's done such a great job
down there. She's been awesome. She is awesome.
Yeah, she's an amazing woman, too. So, or amazing young lady, I should say.
So, yeah. She's amazing. Period.
Yeah, she is amazing. But anyway, so those were some of the things that happened over the summer. And we have some things that are coming up. And one of them is we talked about the 2 programs that one has passed, and the Chestnut Hall Afternoon Tea. And that's on the site. Unfortunately, that's in Kentucky.
Yes.
You told me this morning.
I know. I'm so sorry to disappoint you.
if you'd like to go to the Chestnut Hall Afternoon Tea, which it's a great event, you can go. It's September 25th. From 1 to 3, you can take a little trip out to Kentucky.
Yeah, take a road
beautiful
trip.
Beautiful horse territory. And have some tea served in China. Served in China. You got to go to Kentucky and then cop on a plane and go over to China. Yeah, really. No, but it's they offer traditional teas served in China. But you had one here. Am I correct?
No, I think what's happening is we are going to need to have one.
You're
going to
need to have one.
Because I've had a whole bunch of people saying, I'm trying to sign up, but it seems to be in Kentucky. And yes, it is actually in Kentucky. We have a beautiful farm there where we can host parties. And this is our first one. But I do have to say that if you are... I'm getting a little bit of a groundswell that we need to find a farm here that will host an afternoon tea. I'm actually going to a beautiful farm this afternoon. Maybe I will mention this to them and say, can we do one here?
Can we do a tea? and we'll even get the tea from China. And we'll go get it ourselves because, that's great. And I think it would be a nice thing to have here.
It would be fun to do here. I will say the folks, though, I know there's not a lot of folks from Kentucky probably listening. You never know. But if you happen to travel to Kentucky, not necessarily to drive there for this event, but this farm is right outside of Louisville, Kentucky, and it's a relatively new farm for us. We opened it 2 years ago, another great gift from someone very generous who gave us this farm to place our horses, but it's also available on a thing called Horse Country, Visit Horse Country, which is a nonprofit that labels visitors to book visits to horse farms all over Kentucky. You can go see American Pharoah. You can go see Rachel Alexandra. You can book your tours through Horse Country. But our farm is actually one of those farms. So our farm, Chestnut Hall, is one of the Horse Country tour farms. So if anybody who knows going to Kentucky or Louisville, this is a really fun way to actually go to a beautiful place, meet some old retired racehorses, and hear the story. And if you're lucky, you might be there when they're having tea.
Yeah, the only thing I really know about Kentucky before the Kentucky Derby was Daniel Boone was from there, I think. but anyway, that sounds like a great event. And you have a Chestnut Hall Fall Story Fest, though, coming up this fall, correct?
And that's another one at the same farm in Louisville, right. Kentucky. And I will also want to say, again, knowing that they're not listening, but they will hear us in spirit, is that these are all very volunteer-led events. We have an extraordinary herd right there in Louisville, Kentucky, who are saying, how about this? Could we do this? So the first one is the afternoon tea. The second one is this story fest, which is going to have music. It's going to have storytelling. It's going to have food. It's going to be sort of a classic fall festival, but at the farm at Chestnut Hall. So, it's in Kentucky.
That's something we'll have to try to get up here.
Yes.
Because it sounds great. I mean, it's for kids, too.
Yep.
You have Kids Corral. Food and drink and trucks all day.
Yeah.
And they have, we have so much history here in our area that they feature historical tales of Kentucky and of the farm. And pumpkin decorating interaction for kids with the retired thoroughbred horses.
Yep.
So, I mean, I can see that being a really neat event, you know.
Yes.
And apple bobbing used to be fun when I was younger, but now I'm afraid somebody will hold me down a little longer. And so I shy away from barrels of apples, but...
apples than they do in Kentucky, though. I would argue that our apple supply is
a lot better.
A lot better,
here.
Yeah.
But it just sounds like I don't know. And this is only a personal opinion. It has nothing to do with horses or anything. But it seems that Saratoga has gotten so big that for the locals, it has gotten away from being that small community. Because basically, we're still a small community with a big city attitude. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got a lot of big city mechanisms,
mm-hmm.
but we're still basically a small town.
Sure.
Believe it or not, Saratoga's population hasn't changed much, maybe 100, 200 people from 25 years ago.
Huh, how about that?
Now, with all the building and developments going up, you would think, my, you got to be an idiot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, census figures don't lie.
Right.
And a lot of people are not year-round residents.
Right.
And, they may be, they go to Florida in the winter, and if you stay 6 months and one day in a place, you're a resident of that area. And, a lot of people go to Florida and they're taxed.
Yep.
They don't pay taxes. But in any case, we've lost some of the fun things, mm-hmm. that, like the 4th of July celebration that we used to have, and Well, even the Hats Off to Saratoga used to be a huge event here. I don't know if you ever...
I've heard of it. I was not here when it happened, so I've heard people love that event.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, and that's been eliminated. But I can see something like this, the fall event being huge, because it brings kids and adults together for a great thing, and you have these great pumpkin carvings.
Yes,
and
I love pumpkins. I'm an October birthday, so I've always thought pumpkins were coming out for my birthday.
But I think that that's an event that kind of brings a down-home atmosphere, and I think we need that around here. Well, we've become more of a tourist city, which is okay. I mean, you know, Saratoga's doing well, but I like the old town.
Yeah.
You know, some of my favorite movies are like Meet Me in St. Louis or... the other one with Judy Garland, the state fair, or whatever.
Yeah.
And they always had the pie eating contests at the fairs in the towns, and I kind of liked that, and they used to have that attitude.
I have to say, one of my highlights of the summer was actually going out to the Washington County Fair.
That's a great fair.
We were there for the tractor pull, and we looked. I spent more time in the chicken barn. That was my highlight of the whole night, was going to see all those crazy, beautiful, amazing chickens.
Oh, everything. It's funny because we're getting away from TRF.
That's okay.
But I used to go when my wife and my two daughters and I used to go every year. And when I started working at the track, unfortunately, that's Traverse Week.
Oh, yeah.
When they have the fair. But a bunch of security people used to go over. Well, they still do. This year, I had that week off. I couldn't go. But I'll never forget some of the downstate people. They never knew what a cow was. They never saw a cow before. And when this one guy, big, hulking fella, and he says, "Rick, I never knew cows were that big." I said, "What size did you think they were?" He says, "The size of those sheep over there." No. I said, "You got to be kidding me." And the tractors. And he said, "I never saw so many tractors before." They don't have county fairs down there. They have street festivals.
No, right.
So they've never, and they love, they go every year now.
Oh, yeah. It's so much fun. It is so much fun. No, those things are really fun. And I do. I think they are what make our community wonderful, is when you kind of peel away all the fanfare and you get to these simpler things. And I appreciate what you're saying, though, about the fall festival, right? We did one year, and this actually comes back to Lynn again, who did text me that she's listening, so it's okay that we talk about her so much. During the crazy COVID year, we did one of our events was at Pitney Meadows, and it was a pumpkins, ponies, and pies.
Oh.
And it had, I mean, those are three of my favorite things on earth. So I was in seventh heaven. And it was a lot of fun. And I know that my TRF team is at this point a little crispy around the edges after a very full summer. But we will definitely take this conversation to heart, because the fall is such a beautiful season up here.
Because I got a great contest for you.
Oh, good. What is it?
It's a pumpkin shooting contest. Have you ever heard
of that? No, I have never, but it makes me up. Know, it kind of hurts my heart because I love pumpkins. I don't want to shoot them.
I sell a product online. they're replica coins. And I used to go out to Salem quite a bit.
Okay.
And I knew some of the farmers out there. And what they do in the fall, if they have a lot of pumpkins left over after they donate, they have these contraptions that shoot pumpkins.
Like a catapult?
Yeah.
So you the pumpkin. You're not actually, like, shooting it with an arrow.
Oh, no. You're throwing
the pumpkin?
You're throwing the pumpkin, and they have contests to see how far they can go. And it just sounds like a lot of fun.
That sounds a little more fun.
I mean,
I think they had a thing out in the Eastern Shore of Maryland, where I used to live in D.C., and it was called the Pumpkin Chunkin. Like, I think it had the same concept.
Probably the same
concept. And I think
it was
hurtling pumpkins through the air. That is kind of funny.
You could do it at the TRF. We could do something like whoever wants to volunteer to be chucked
We should leave the brainstorming. We get the idea started, Rick, and then we'll let somebody else take care of execution.
Yeah, I tend to go too far to the extreme, you know. But anyway... So we may be able to take in some of the Chestnut Hill projects. I think some of them would be kind of fun here. One of the other things that, I want to get into before we can get into another story about what's going on, is that, you know, winter's coming, and unfortunately, horses can't go to the grocery store and buy food. And I know the TRF every year has a major donation push for hay.
Yes.
And one of the things, I mean, your goal is $120,000. And to purchase hay and grain before winter. And people, I read on the site that, you know, any amount of donation is acceptable.
Absolutely.
And one of the things is that even a $5 donation buys a bale of hay.
Sure, sure.
And, I mean, it's you're feeding 500 horses
every
day.
Yep.
And that's a lot of hay.
It is. It is our single largest expense. It's one of the, you know, it's actually one of the things I love about the work that we do, is that when you look at our financials, and we always encourage people, most fundraisers, but I talk about our financials all the time, just look at them. They're on our website. You'll see our budget, and our budget starts with one big line item, and it's hay.
Yeah.
There's other important things that are the veterinary services and the farrier who takes care of their hooves. These are, when you have this many horses, hundreds and hundreds of horses, It's just it just requires dollars, and they do rely on us. Our horses are beloved; they're amazing. They give with all their hearts, but there are things that they are totally reliant on us for, and hay is a big one. There's some interesting sort of for the 4-H'ers out there, horses and their digestive systems. Not to go too far down a scientific path, but just to think about this for those of you who see horses all the time, they have an extremely complicated and large digestive system. They're very big animals, 1,200 pounds. They're processing all those calories, and they have to be foraging essentially every minute of the day that they're not doing something else. So they need to be keeping forage, which is grass and hay, going through their system all the time. And it's a big job for them to keep eating. So in the winter, as you look out on a snowy field in upstate New York, they can't be, there's no grass to be eaten, but they must still keep that digestive system going.
Yeah.
So they need to be munching away on hay essentially all day long, every day. And it's up to us to provide that to them. So we are so grateful for every donor who jumps in. And at this one time of year, it is the single biggest fundraiser we do every year. It is to fill the hay barns and to make sure we're ready for the winter all across the country. And it is that time of year. So thank you for raising the awareness of that,
well,
Rick.
That's okay. And I think the important part for a lot of people is that 60% of your donations are under $50. And as we said, even a $5 donation buys a bale of hay. So if you donate $5 or $10, I mean, that's adding to
the
stockpile. And don't think, oh, my, you know, I can't afford $50. $5, I mean, they add up. And
it does. It's amazing. And it's very gratifying, because together we can do this. No one person can do all the things, but together we can do a lot. It's what we talked about with the summer, is that we're able to do more when more people are involved. And if you are able to give a gift of $5 or $10 and you happen to mention to a friend or family member and they can give $5 or $10, then you've done even more. You've done, so it's just it's an opportunity for everyone to feel like a part of it and to know how much we appreciate that support.
And what, I mean, what the TRF does and its mission is to rehabilitate and take care of horses. And I mean, and that's well and good, but you need the support. And you do get a lot of it, but it takes a lot of it. Support of people.
Yeah.
And if you think that, a lot of people don't like horse racing.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
I understand.
Let's face it.
I do understand that, for sure.
But you're an organization that rehabs these horses and gives them a new lease on life. So if you don't like horse racing, but you have to love what you do as the TRF, well, then make a $5 or $10 donation to keep the horses fed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Well, thank you for Rick saying it so well. I was with friends last night with horses, and we were talking about, you know, I'll go ahead and say this because the question was asked of me last night from my friend Ava, who's at Captain. I was with her last night, and she said, so just remind me, how long do horses race? And this is just important for everyone who listens to kind of recognize that in the world of thoroughbred racing, horses can start as young as two. They don't all start at two, but we see a lot of two-year-olds here in Saratoga. And on average, they run until they're maybe six. And they might run longer, and many of them run shorter. But let's just say 4 years. Mm-hmm. The biggest piece of information, the most important fact that you and I can share with everyone today, Rick, is that thoroughbred horses live an average of 25 to 30 years. And their racing career is four of those. Right. So what we're asking for today, and we're asking for every day, is to make sure that those horses are healthy and happy for the rest of their lives. And it's a lot of years. For us, it's an average of 25 years that a horse will live with us.
Right.
And they deserve that because they've been brought into this world by us to entertain us, to give us love, to give us joy. And it's incumbent on those of us who love them to take care of them.
And that's together amazing. We can do it. Yeah. And I mean, I think that's why, you know, you're so important as a spokesperson for the TRF. Because the work that it does, it's just, you can't say enough about it. I mean, you know, with the prison programs and everything you do with the horses and the new lease on life you've given to prisoners that take care of the horses. I mean, when you think of all that, it really outshines the horse racing part of it. And I think you had one of the older horses that you had who passed away a couple years ago, I think, it was in their 30s.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was our beloved Quick Call.
Yeah.
He's a revered character in Saratoga Racing, but especially at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And he was 35 years old.
35.
He lived at the Wallkill Correctional Facility for over 25 years. And he taught more men more lessons. But he's still our inspiration because he did it all.
Yeah, well, that's a sign of how well the horses are taken care of after, and why you need the support of people.
And to be clear, I have the easiest of all the possible jobs at the TRF. I get to sit here and chat with you over coffee, Rick, on a Saturday morning where I have colleagues all across the country who are waking up every morning to check on those old horses and make sure they're okay and make sure they're healthy. And boy, do I want to say how much I appreciate each and every one of them and the volunteers who help us do that, because together we take care of a pretty big herd.
Now, do you start the morning when they get up with the bugle call?
Yes. You know, if you need to get a horse's attention, you play that little ringtone on your phone, and they will pick their heads up wherever they are, however old they are.
That's right.
They know the call to post.
And you know, Sam the Bugler couldn't be there this year, and they had a father-son duo, and it just happened that the father played in, one of my favorite singers of all time was a fellow by the name of Robert Palmer, who was in the Power Station back in the 70s and 80s. And he was in his band.
Really?
As a trumpet player, yes.
Wow.
He graduated from the high school I graduated from, where I grew up in Gloversville. And he was farther ahead of me. I mean, you know, ahead of me. I'm probably, 13 years older than him. But, and his son now lives in Saratoga, but we had some chats about his music teacher, who I know knew he's 90-something and still going, but not teaching. But they did a great job.
They really did. I loved them. The duo was terrific.
I know.
I didn't get to meet them, but I loved hearing that story.
Next year, I'll meet them for sure. Definitely, because they're quite a couple.
Yeah.
But it was fun listening to some of the bands he played in. And they were big bands, and we talked about Robert Palmer a lot. Who was probably one of the only pop singers that dressed in Italian silk suits and was a true gentleman.
Yeah.
Unfortunately died, I think, at 53 from a heart attack.
Oh, gosh.
He was a heck of a smoker, a good thing not to smoke. But, Kim, thank you for being here today.
It is such a pleasure to be here, Rick. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to our next conversation.
You got it, and you know it'll be soon. I want to turn the station over now to Homer. Who, I'll tell you, he was fantastic for me for 8 weeks and played the best of the repeats that we did, and I want to thank you, Homer, personally, and your show is one of the best music shows that are around, so thanks for everything you did for me.
Well, thank you so much, Rick, and it's great to have you back. And, oh, this is a small chair. Hello up there!